agenda item number 9, discussion and possible action on determination of interruptible water available for 2016 by Brad Brunette, Water Service Manager.
Good morning. This is an item that we bring to you each year in October where we look at the amount of interruptible water to make available for the upcoming calendar year. Fortunately, this year with the rain that we had earlier in the spring and the summer and then again this weekend, we're in a lot better shape today than we have been the last couple of years in October when we've presented this item. Just a little bit of quick background information on interruptible water. It's basically unused farm yield that remains in storage from last year. It's there available to be used again in the current year. We began selling it back in 2008. We make it available on a temporary basis with contract terms that can range anywhere from 1 year to 5 years. But on those multi-year contracts, the ones that are in excess of 1 year, they're still subject to this annual availability determination each year. So an entity may have a contract for more than 1 year, but their ability to use water is still subject to what we make available each year on an annual basis here. And it's sold at the same price as our long-term contracts, that being the system rate or the ag rate if the use qualifies for that ag rate use. We have a defined interruptible water sale procedure that outlines the calculation methodology as well as how we allocate the water. And one of the things within that procedure, there's an annual calculation methodology where we look at it on a lake-by-lake basis, and there's a safety factor that's a part of that calculation methodology. And that factor, every year since 2008, we've recommended a factor of 0.25. And that's a very conservative factor because what it does is it reduces the amount that we make available by 75%. So we're really applying a 75% factor of safety. So in other words, we go through our calculation, we calculate hydrologically how much water we could make available, and we multiply it by 0.25. So we're reducing it by 75%. And again, the reason that we do that is we want to be very conservative so that we don't jeopardize the ability to supply our long-term customers. And also that ensures that in even a really dry year, we would never use more water than what our water right permits allow. So that's the basis for that safety factor. Our procedure does specify that it's subject to the board adjusting it each year. Again, we've always used that factor of 0.25, and the board has never made any changes in the past, but the board does have that prerogative to do that. With regard to the multiple year contracts, the ones that extend beyond 1 year, they get first access at the water. So in other words, the water that we do make available is first offered to those entities that have contracts that already extend into 2016 or beyond. One other note on both our contracts and our procedure, there's a provision that basically gives us the discretion to curtail use under the contracts if we hit a stage 3 drought trigger level under our drought plan. Again, just another element of conservatism to make sure that we don't jeopardize our ability to supply our long-term customers. And I believe until last year, we had never had to do that. But last year, when we were facing such difficult conditions at Lake Proctor, we ultimately had to curtail use under a couple of the interruptible contracts there. The previous slide mentioned some updates to the procedure. We actually did update the procedure this year, and we posted those changes that we were proposing on our website for a public comment period for a little over 30 days, and also notified our interruptible customers of the changes. And what you can see here is just a summary of some of the changes. The most significant one, the one I'll touch on, is the first one with regard to the calculation formula. Prior to this year, there was an element in that formula for what we called sediment yield, and it was basically farm yield that exists today that over time, with sedimentation flowing into the lake, filling that space up with dirt instead of water, our yield reduces. But while it's there, we were able to make it available on a temporary basis. However, as y'all all know, as we've talked about at multiple meetings in the past with the drought, the recent drought's effects on Possum Kingdom Lake, we've got a reduced farm yield there now than what we had before because this most recent drought is worse than anything we've ever seen. And so when you consider that, what we used to have in our calculation for sediment yield is really no longer appropriate. And so we took that out of the calculation, and the effect of that is that it makes slightly less interruptible water available than what would have been the case before, you know, prior to the drought. So it makes a little bit less water available. You can see some of the other changes there. I mentioned that we did post it for public comments. We actually received comments from two entities.
Brad, you, so what you're saying is that in your calculation this year, you did look at the drought impact, which was historical, and that's why we have less available, because
absolutely.
Of all the study and the drought impact. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, we've talked about in the past, when you're in the middle of a drought, you don't know what your new farm yield is going to be until it's over, and that's frustrating sometimes because, you know, people want answers, and, you know, we've talked about the fact that we have to wait until the drought's over. Well, the drought has ended and Possum Kingdom refilled, and so we did evaluate the impacts of the drought, and we do think that we have less sperm yield available as a result of this current drought. And so because of that, the way we had calculated interruptible with sediment yield no longer worked, and so we took that out. The comments from Possum Kingdom Lake Association were basically revolved around three elements. Number one, they wanted to make sure that we adequately account for agreements that we have with several entities upstream of Possum Kingdom, where we've entered subordination agreements in the past. And what that is basically we've got agreements with several entities that allows them to build projects upstream that potentially impacts the farm yield at Possum Kingdom. And so they just want to make sure that when we're calculating interruptible water, that if there are any of those upstream projects going on, that we're considering that, and our procedure and our calculations this year do take that into account. One of the other things that they had comments on was non-water supply releases. At some of our reservoirs, we make environmental flow releases that are required by permits or other, you know, environmental reasons. And at Possum Kingdom Lake, we have the balancing releases where we, you know, basically have the new drawdown protocol with Lake Granberry, where sometimes we make releases from Possum Kingdom to make sure that those lakes are operating in tandem with the study that we did several years ago. And so they wanted us to make sure that we adequately accounted for those releases as well. What they were asking practically didn't make a whole lot of difference to the calculation. If you looked at the end result, what they were asking didn't really make much difference either way, but it didn't hurt either, and it was pretty easy for us to do. So we actually did make some changes to the procedure based on their comments, and so that's one of the things that we incorporated. Their last thing had to do with the safety factor. They would like to see the safety factor firmly established in the procedure at 0.25 to, again, provide that 75% margin of safety, rather than us bringing it up every year for the board to consider. If we didn't do that, they wanted it to be in place for at least 2 years, and the idea behind the two-year period was to hopefully have the system operation permit settled by then. We think that the safety factor, the way that we have it, where we discuss it each year and we have the flexibility to change it, is appropriate. We haven't ever changed it, but, you know, in the future we may need to do so. So we haven't recommended any changes based on that comment. And then Dow's comment had to do with the sediment yield that we removed from the calculation. They suggested that we not remove that we continue to leave it in, but again, because of the reduced sperm yield at Possum Kingdom Lake, we don't think that's appropriate, and so we didn't make any changes based on Dow's comment. Here you can just see a history of interruptible water in sales since 2008. The gray bars are what we actually offered. That's the amount that the board has established every year in October in the past. The blue is how much was actually sold or contracted. And then the blue-green is how much of the water was actually used. And you can see that in most years, very little of the interruptible water gets used. And especially if you look at 2008, 2010, 12, 14, and 15, you see very little use. And the reason for that is that the largest purchasers of interruptible water are Gulf Coast Water Authority and Dow. And again, we've talked about in the past, they're unique in that they have their own water rights to divert from the river. And so anytime that there's normal or high flows in the river, they're able to divert all the water that they need under their own water rights. And it's only in the really dry years that they need extra water from BRA. But when they need it, they have to have it. And so they purchase it really kind of as insurance. In most years, it's not used. 2011 was the exception, the obvious exception there, the worst year that any of us have ever seen, when most of the water was actually used that year. This is just a summary of who our interruptible water customers are this year. So these are entities that have contracts in place today as we speak for this year. You can see Dow, Gulf Coast, and NRG are the three largest. Also, note on the Dow and the NRG contracts, those contracts do extend through the end of 2016, so those were multi-year contracts when they entered them. The Gulf Coast contract expires at the end of this year, and then we have 69 other contracts there at the bottom that total 11,451 acre feet. And most of our, you know, if you look at the number of contracts, it's mostly small users, small farmers and irrigators, industrial operations that have the most contracts. And of that 11,451, 3,555 acre feet of that expires at the end of this year, and then there is about 8,000 acre feet under 33 contracts that extends into next year. Now, looking at new requests, I don't expect you to read every one of those on the list, but it's just to kind of give you a flavor for customers that have already filed applications that want interruptible water for next year. The total there is 72,613 acre feet, but we've actually received a couple more late last week, and so we're up about 1,200 acre feet above that. And so I think that the total as we sit today is 73,813. And with regard to these new requests, within our interruptible water sale procedure that I mentioned earlier, we require anybody that wants to be considered for interruptible water for the next year to make their application by the end of October. So we may get a couple more in this week, we may not, but everyone that files a request by the end of October is considered together for any extra water that we have available. You can see mostly on this list, 62,000 acre feet there at the top is for Gulf Coast Water Authority. Again, that's that insurance. The last couple of years, I don't think we've released any water for Gulf Coast Water Authority this year, and in 2014 it was very little.
Brad, how does Gulf Coast, why is one segment ag and irrigation and one municipal? How do we monitor that, and how can that be?
Well, they still supply a lot of water to the rice irrigation that takes place in the Brazos, and it's much less in the Colorado. You know, we all hear about rice irrigation in the Colorado. The Brazos is much less, but they are the primary water supplier for those rice irrigation customers. And because we offer two different rates, you know, for our water, you know, if it qualifies for agricultural use rate, our customers get it at a lower price than the system rate. And so Gulf Coast, in taking care of their customer base, you know, they supply most of the municipal needs for Galveston Island and Texas City and a lot of those areas along the coast. They also supply quite a bit of water to some of the petrochemical industry down there. So they're kind of like a regional supplier down there supplying various needs of different types of use. And so when they make their request to us, they parse out what they think their farmers are going to need versus what they're going to have for their municipal customers and our industrial customers.
Because that rate differential is significant, how do we know that we're getting the right deal on that? Do we have an audit procedure on that? Or?
Well, our contracts are take or pay. So whenever they enter the contract, they're paying whatever the rate is, and we do require all of our customers to report their use to us on a monthly basis. And now with the Brazos Water Master in place, our customers are actually having to report to us weekly or more frequent. So when Gulf Coast phones in a water request, currently we make them tell us where they're going to divert it, what it's for, and so we can keep track of that.
And as a point of history, the ag guys came to this board in 2008, something like that.
Yeah, they've been several times the last 6 or 7 years.
And so that the board that they paid, if our system rate crept up, that we were going to put them out of business, and they asked the board to give them a break, and they gave them about a 25% break.
But we do monitor that, and now with the Water Master in place, everyone's water use is a lot more closely scrutinized, so that is occurring. Here's just for the visual people out there, this just shows what I just told you with the existing contracts for 2016 that are already in place, or the blue and then the yellow are those new requests from that table. You can see most of it again there is in the lower part of the basin where we have access to the entire system upstream. So getting down to the actual numbers, this slide shows what the calculations produce whenever we go through the calculation process that's outlined in our procedure. We're looking at the numbers in the second column here. You can see that the amounts vary by location, so we break it down in different parts of the basin. And obviously, you know, we're calculating it on a reservoir by reservoir basis. So if you're at the very bottom of the basin, we've got access to it all. But if you're at Lake Aquila or somewhere like that, it's a much smaller amount. So we have to look at it not just in a grand total, but also how it's geographically oriented. In 2016, or what we're recommending for next year, is 79,937 acre-feet. And again, that uses the 0.25 factor that results in a 75% factor of safety. The middle column there is those contracts that extend through 2016. So those are contracts that are already in place, and under our procedure, they get first shot at the water. And then if you look at the last column, the remainder is 44,520 acre-feet. And that's the amount that we would have available to offer to those customers that are on the list that I showed you that have asked for contracts for next year. Obviously, the list was about 73,000 acre-feet, and what we have here is 44,000. So our procedure specifies when that's the case, we have less water than we do requests, that we offer it on a prorated basis. And so we would be looking at offering each one of those customers about 60% of the water that they requested.
Refreshment, if a person wants to purchase water, interrupted water, they pay for it whether they use it or not?
Yes, sir.
So if they don't use it, they lose it, so to speak. Is it the same system-wide rate?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The only exception to that is, I mentioned earlier, if we authorize water for use next year, and then, or let's say, no, that's a bad example. If we told those customers next year, if we were real dry right now, we said, we're not going to authorize any interruptible water for use. Those customers that already have a contract in place for next year, we keep their contract, but we wouldn't charge them for anything for next year. And then the following year, if we had water available, we would go back to that situation where they're required to pay regardless. So the only scenario where they wouldn't have to pay is if we don't offer
it. Sure, okay.
Yes, sir.
What if my contract was for the whole system? Would any stage three anywhere negate my contract now?
The way the contracts are written and the procedure, if we hit a stage three at any reservoir, we could curtail use under all the contracts.
So any contract.
Yes. So again, that's another element of, you know, conservatism or leverage that we have in our favor. If we get into a really dry situation, we can do that. You know, if Lake Parker hit a stage three drought trigger level, our contracts allow us to curtail everyone, even though everyone doesn't rely on that. And it's hard to believe, and I certainly don't expect that we're in for anything like what we've seen, but, you know, if you think back to 2011, in 2010, October of 2010, no one had any idea what we were in for in 2011. So, you know, again, just gives us some more control over that. I've got a resolution here if there are any more questions.
I have one question, Brad. It's something you haven't talked about, and it may not be exactly a good fit for your report, but I'm wondering about the BRA having liability to possible downstream contamination of all of our users' equipments and systems of management if from, say, Lake Belton, where we know that the zebra mussel was involved there. Do we have liability for contaminating downstream systems with zebra mussel from Lake Belton water?
I would say no. I'm not going to lie to you, but there was a bill that was passed the last legislative session, and it really didn't address the liability from someone suing us per se, but it made it clear that because, you know, a reservoir can't stop water from going downstream. I mean, if it rains upstream like Lake Belton, you know, if it were to fill up from flood water, irrespective of our water supply, they're going to have to pass that water downstream. And so there was a change made to the law that makes it clear that from an operations standpoint, us or the Corps of Engineers or no one is expected to not pass water downstream. So I would, you know, the non-lawyer here would tell you that it would be awfully hard, I think, for someone to sue us and prevail on that.
I guess it's just presuming that everybody downstream from Lake Belton is going to get infested with it.
That's a good question, too. I've talked a little bit with some of the folks at Dow about that, and Tiffany Morgan here, our Environmental Services Department Manager, those mussels don't do very well in a river environment, and so, you know, they thrive in a lake, and so you don't typically worry too much about them in the river. However, you know, if we have a bunch of them being washed down the river and Dow or someone else is pumping out of the river into their off-channel reservoir, you know, that potentially is an issue. But again, now that we have zebra mussels in the basin, that's just a fact of life. It's nothing that us or anyone can prevent. We just got to deal with it and manage as best we can.
Any more questions? read your resolution, please.
Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby approves a safety factor of 0.25 for use in determining the amounts of interruptible water to make available in calendar year 2016. Be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager / CEO to make up to 79,937 acre feet of interruptible water available in calendar year 2016. Be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager / CEO to use up to 35,417 acre feet of the interruptible water made available for calendar year 2016 to supply existing interruptible water availability agreements and to enter into new interruptible water availability agreements for up to 44,520 acre feet, which shall be sold at the current system rate per acre foot, except for water for agricultural use, as that term is defined in Chapter 11 of the Texas Water Code, which shall be sold at the current agricultural rate.
I have a question before we move, if that's okay. On the slide, previous slide, you showed the current contracts and the reservoirs impacted. We don't have anything filled in on the 44,000 on where that water would typically come from. You made comment about that, but would most of that would come from PK in the upper reservoirs?
No, not necessarily. When we look at the calculation methodology, we're looking at a snapshot in time, and it assumes that right now we're fixing to start a new drought record. And so we look at how much, if we are in a new drought record, and obviously we're not. We've got flood water everywhere right now. But if we were, we know that we can supply it based on this calculation methodology right here. In practice, when we get into next year, most of those contracts are located down at the lower basin for Gulf Coast and Dow, where they're going to be. And we've got, you know, water in the flood pool of Lake Somerville or Belton or wherever. You know, we're able to dispatch the water from locations in the basin that are actually, you know, in better shape than others. And so there's a little bit of a disconnect. When we calculate it, it's based on a snapshot in time that we know that if things get really bad, we can manage it and supply it in this way. But if things are different than this or better, we've got the flexibility to do that. So,
okay, you've helped. And it adds up to, let's get Allen's Creek built.
Absolutely. Well, as soon as Allen's Creek is built, I think, you know, Phil's mentioned it in the past that we could have supplied just about all of our downstream needs through this drought and then rebuild the lake each year, every year except for one. And, you know, that takes a lot of pressure off all the lakes upstream.
Thank you, Kate. We've got a resolution now. Is there a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Peter.
Second.
Leroy. Please poll the board.
Presiding Officer Scott.
Yes.
Director Adams.
Yes.
Director Bell.
Yes.
Director Bennis.
Yes.
Director Beshears.
Yes.
Director Christian.
Yes.
Director Steele.
Yes.
Director Johnson.
Yes.
Director Kilgore.
Yes.
Director Rankin.
Yes.
Director Tallis.
Yes.
Director White.
Yes.
Director Zaccanino.
Yes.